WBAI in New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish with Hapta Selassie, will return next week following the work of the Midnight Ravers at 2 a.m. And it is 5 o'clock and time for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Most probably 5 a.m. on the first Saturday of spring, and you're listening to All It's Time to Lock Up a Certain Former President Radio, WBAR New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about it all by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of your screen, and at the top it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. I will note that we now have a little more than 25 years worth of those program web pages posted up on glib.com. Oh boy, memory lane stuff. So, this is our 129th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program. But this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in the multiverse for this past week is that we are still holding at the astronomical number of 120 followers on Twitter. Oh, we shudder at the thought of how many that is. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, April 12th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Johns Hopkins website is no longer covering COVID-19. I'm seeing that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website, which we call the CDC website, says that, quote, maps, charts, and data provided by CDC update Monday to Friday by 8 p.m. Eastern Time, unquote. So these data are not as up-to-date as the Johns Hopkins data used to be. It's what we have, though. The CDC website says that in America, the number of reported cases as of Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time was 103,957,053, and the death toll in America was 1,123,613, with a death rate of 2,060 for the past week. So we have deaths per week up by more than 300 this past week. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. Spring is here! Whoopee! Yeah, got here last Monday afternoon at 5:24 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh, boy. I like it. Spring is good, especially when it follows winter. Yeah. Pickles of the North took a photograph of a daffodil while she was out this week. Yeah, flowers are showing up. We look forward to being able to get more photographs of flowers. We now have more daylight than night dark to look out the window at. And I may even go out this week. Could happen. And we always greet spring. We're glad to have it. And we have a tradition here on Back of the Book. And this is how we welcome spring in with a song. And here we go.
Remember how we used to dance around the studio listening to Here Comes the Sun when we were doing this show live, our Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently I'm going to have to be doing a lot more dancing around the apartment because I went to a clinic the other day and it was full of people wearing masks, except for the two people who were coughing their heads off. Not covering their mouths, which seems to be typical these days. Anyway, it was a clinic where you could get scans and x-rays and things like that. And I went in and had, a bone density scan. And guess what? If this was Las Vegas, I guess you could say I hit the jackpot. I have osteoporosis. I think my bones must be like Swiss cheese.
Well, we hope not quite that bad.
Well, I don't know. I can't bear to look very closely at those scans, you know. It's a little frightening. Anyway, this is something that gallops in my family, and I wasn't that surprised to learn that I had it. And so, of course, I looked up some statistics when I got home, and according to the CDC's website, 1 in 5 women over age 50 and 1 in 20 men over age 50 will develop osteoporosis. Now, I'm not too worried about you, R. Paul, because you built a great big bank of bone, as it were.
Especially in my head.
Back when you were a young guy, because, you know, apparently, and this is a frightening statistic, when you reach 30, that's when you start losing bone density, bone mass. But if you built up a whole bunch and you keep building it, you know, keep building it up, then it's the loss is not quite so terrible. So, and usually men have denser bones anyway. But if you're, as they say on the website, women of white and Asian descent are more likely to develop osteoporosis. Well, that's what happened to this little Caucasian here. Another place I went to look up information about this was the World Health Organization's website. And I looked at something. It was just a couple of lines. It says it was its analysis of global burden of disease 2019 data. And that shows that approximately 1.71 billion people globally live with musculoskeletal conditions, and that's what osteoporosis is, and other examples are like low back pain, fractures. There's quite a list of things. Musculoskeletal conditions are the leading contributor to disability worldwide. That was an eye-opener. One reason for that is there's a lot of old people in the world, but it can happen to people of any age, even kids too. Low back pain is the leading cause of disability in 160 countries. So that was kind of shocking to me to find this out. And there's a lot of reasons. There's many kinds of arthritis people get, many other conditions that result from inflammation in the body. That is a big, big one. And so I am not alone. I have many, many, many people keeping me company. Or I'm keeping them company now, too. And I just hope that I can get on a good regime so that I can go forward into the rest of my old age and not like shrivel up into a little ball.
Well, we hope not, yes. Well, this is, as you say, not a surprise because your mother has osteoporosis, rather obviously. And, you know, you saw this coming, so it's not a big shock, but yeah. When you, even if you know something's coming, when you get hit with it, it's sort of a bit of a whoa. So there you are. I will also note I have a lower back problem going on these days. I don't know if it's osteoporosis or maybe a disc disintegrating or pulled muscles or I don't know. The two of us are going to be walking around bent over pretty soon, I think.
Oh, man. Well, let's try not to. Perhaps it is a pulled muscle. That's entirely possible. That is a very, very common source of especially lower back pain. Could be arthritis, but let's hope it's not.
Oh, I have that in various places, yes.
And I think almost everybody, being a human being, you develop arthritis at some point.
Especially when you're an old fart like me.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
And we have some sad news for those of you who are very long-time listeners to WBAI. Bill Schechner has died at 81 after a long illness. Bill Schechner was an old-time WBAI producer, and he was one of the department heads in the 70s, and he covered the Vietnam War, and he covered all sorts of things locally. And yeah, he was a major voice on WBAI for a while. And I came to WBAI much later than he did. He was gone by the time I got to BAI, a mere 41 years ago. And so I wasn't at BAI with him, but I met him when he gave a talk to the staff. I think he gave two talks to the staff, and I met him then, and he made sense. He would still make sense if he had spoken the same way to us now, which means since he spoke to us back in, what, the 80s? Yeah, we're still making the same mistakes. At one of these staff meetings that he attended when he was no longer staff here, he started out his talk to us all with management in the room saying, "The good news is that some of the things you hear on WBAI are unbelievable. The bad news is that some of the things you hear on WBAI are unbelievable." Yeah, we could still get that lecture today. And I talked with him regarding a piece he did on the founding of the WBAI Union that lasted from 1987 to 1999. Before a certain general manager engaged in union busting. And there's a different union at BAI now. Anyway, Bill Schechner did interesting stuff, very interesting stuff. And he was an anchor on KPIX, which is a San Francisco TV station, and he worked there for 18 years. And he eventually sued them for laying off older workers. Oh, broadcast industry is terrible. You should all know that. The broadcast industry is just awful. All sorts of bad things happen. You see all these people suddenly getting accused. Hey, X tried to bone me. And, you know, all these charges against these people up and down and all over the media. And it changes who's on the air now because they're having men and women there and sitting apart from each other and, well, you know, all sorts of things happening. And so, yeah, they will do things like say, that one's too old, throw him out. Doesn't matter how good a job the person does. Could also be, you know, who's blowing whom can be another consideration in the broadcast industry. It's not so nice when you look under the rock. Anyway, so he was on KPIX for 18 years. And also, some of you may remember him. He worked with the late Linda Ellerbee on her NBC program, NBC News Overnight, which was a very interesting program. It covered all sorts of stuff. Those of us at BAI watched that because, hey, that's not too different from the kind of stuff we try to do at times, although they got a hell of a lot bigger budget than anything we've got. And he worked at NBC for 14 years. And so he did a lot of stuff at NBC, and he did various reports on it that were not just your stand up and I'm here and the wind is blowing. Back to you in the studio, Joe. He did things that explored ideas, not necessarily the biggest mainstream ideas, but other kinds of stuff. I could name a radio program that tries to do stuff like that. I won't. But, so he did all of that stuff. And the obits I'm seeing just say that he was in radio before going to TV. That's another thing. TV considers radio to be kindergarten or something that is not worthy of mention. And in some places, they don't mention he was ever on the radio. much less he was on WBAI where he started doing this stuff. Yeah, so there's no mention that he was doing his stuff at WBAI long before the TV stints, and that again is just the way the media work. We are toiling, Pickles and I, in this orchard neglected by the high-priced spread. So Bill Schechter, he used to be at BAI. He did a lot of other things. He kept doing unusual things. He will be missed. We've been hearing, of course, about all of these things going on with Drag Story Hour around the nation. Well, New York Attorney General Letitia James hosted a Drag Story Hour at the LGBTQ Community Center on West 13th Street in Greenwich Village last Sunday. Idiots picketed it from across the street, including a bigot in a Proud Boys sweatshirt. A much larger crowd of counter-protesters lined the sidewalk in front of the center to show their support for the event. One jerk from the anti-crowd got arrested after he was found rattling the police barricades all over the place. The bad people did not stop this Drag Story Hour, as they've done to some others. Meanwhile, the Chicago Blackhawks will not wear Pride-themed warm-up jerseys before Sunday's Pride Night game against Vancouver because of security concerns regarding a Russian law that expands restrictions on activities seen as promoting LGBT plus infinity rights in that country, which is busy trying to kill all Ukrainians, by the way. Really, a Russian law is directly affecting people in America. Some of the players on the hockey teams are Russian, and it is feared that one day they'll go back to Russia and they'll be prosecuted if they wear these jerseys, and that could happen. Of course, maybe by the time they go back, Vladimir Putin will be pushing up daisies, which would be a good thing, but they can't count on that. And having lived through the Soviet tyranny and now the oligarchic tyranny of Putin and his pals, they are, you know, not exactly trusting in any kind of system to watch out for their rights. So they're very wary of doing anything that could get them in trouble. You know, the Wagner Group will come up and whack them or something if they're not careful. So that's going on there. But a Russian anti-gay law is affecting people in America in this direct way. God damn. But it could always get worse. International human rights leaders are condemning the Ugandan legislature's passage of the, quote, 2023 anti-homosexuality bill, unquote, that punishes same-gender relations with a 10-year prison term. Some same-gender activities are punishable by life imprisonment or even death in the case of, quote, aggravated homosexuality, unquote, if two people with HIV have sex with each other. And then, quote, attempted aggravated homosexuality, unquote, carries a prison sentence of up to 14 years. And, quote, attempted homosexuality, unquote, is a 10-year sentence. Homosexuality, in quotes again, in general, could carry a life prison sentence. People are urging President Yoweri Museveni to veto this damned piece of legislation. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk said, quote, the passing of this discriminatory bill, probably among the worst of its kind in the world, is a deeply troubling development, unquote. He went on to call the bill, quote, draconian, unquote, and, quote, devastating and deeply disturbing, unquote. The group Human Rights Watch said that the bill, quote, would violate multiple fundamental rights guaranteed under Uganda's constitution and international human rights instruments to which Uganda is a party, unquote. Amnesty International also condemned the legislation. President Museveni has called homosexuality a corrupting import from the West, so I think he leans towards signing this particular awful piece of legislation. What an idiot! So, yeah, we have this anti-gay stuff going on. There are quite a number of countries in Africa that are viciously anti-gay, and they all come up with this stuff. Oh, it's imported. Nobody here is homosexual. It comes from the West. Yeah, right. Stupid people. But anyway, this is very bad stuff. And, you know, best wishes to the people, the gay people, the LGBT plus infinity people in Uganda and elsewhere in Africa where they have these awful laws. They need the luck there because, God, they're certainly not getting treated properly. And, of course, there are people in America who would say, yes, this is great legislation. In fact, we've got people in the House of Representatives and in some other legislatures and states that have endorsed exactly this kind of thing. And if such a bill ever came up in those state legislatures, I doubt if anybody would be stupid enough to try to bring it up as a national federal bill to make a law like this. But in some states, they might. I will note that there were, now I never saw this law, but we were told 50 something years ago that the state of Nevada had a death penalty for homosexuality. It wasn't a law against buggery or anything. It wasn't anything you had to do. If you were a homosexual, you got the death penalty. I don't think it was ever, done. I don't think anybody was ever executed. I don't think because they were found to be homosexual, but they had a law against homosexuality per se, which is really rather different from, you know, activities. I mean, it's even more insane. But they had a law like that, and this was one of the things that we used to note back in the early days of the gay liberation movement. And, there are a lot of laws around the country, and a lot of them got wiped out by the Supreme Court years ago. And those are exactly the laws that Clarence Thomas would like to bring back. What a creep he is. So, yeah, we have bad people in Africa. We have bad people in various legislatures in the United States of America. If they could get away with this, I bet you they would. I mean, we did have laws all over the place where homosexual sex was punishable by numbers of years. Various guys used to get trapped in men's rooms by the undercover cops who would, do things to suggest maybe we might want to get together. And if you said, hey, let's, or, made any kind of a move affirmative in that way, you got arrested and people got generally about 5 years in prison for that. I think it might have been Lenny Bruce or one of those other comics who said, yeah, so you take a guy who you're arresting for homosexuality in a men's room and you put him in prison for 5 years with all these other men. So, yeah, that's really showing him all right. They noted that this is bizarre stuff. Well, these struggles continue, folks. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at WBAI.org. This past week, that moron Donnie Bonespur Trump said that he would be indicted by a Manhattan grand jury this past Tuesday for his shady business tactics and for a hush money payment of $130,000 to porn star Stormy Daniels. And also he made another payoff to another porn star to shut them up right before the 2016 election. But of course, that didn't happen. This indictment didn't happen on Tuesday. So either he's getting bad information or he's just making it up, which he does with so many things. The charges against Trump could include falsifying business records to cover up the payments and maybe even felony charges if prosecutors can show that the bogus records were created to commit or cover up some other crime, like a violation of campaign finance laws, were part of an obstruction of justice, or were a violation of tax laws. Trump's been calling Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg all sorts of nasty names since he started saying he's going to be indicted. And Trump has called upon his supporters to protest his indictment and, quote, take our nation back, unquote. He wasn't indicted on Tuesday, but it's been looking like he will be for some months now. So he's been inciting his people again. Some of them even showed up on Tuesday, and I think on Wednesday too, and they were showing up with their Trump 2024 banners, and some of them had signs that said Trump won, and all sorts of stupid things, and there were some counter-protesters. The counter-protesters didn't get much airtime on TV, unfortunately, and the counter-protesters showed up with signs like, arrest Trump, and he did it, and stuff like that. There was also some woman who got several seconds of airtime. I don't know what she was saying, but she was clearly in an altered state. Hollering, whoa, 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 some pro-Trump stuff, which was really unintelligible, but she was very active. And I guess the TV news people said, oh, instead of showing that there's opposition to this nonsense, let's show this other idiot who's really out of her goddamn mind. So they did that. But yeah, so some of his people have shown up in Manhattan to protest his indictment, which hasn't happened. On Friday, police were investigating a white powder found in an envelope marked, quote, Alvin, unquote, which was discovered in the DA's mailroom at 80 Center Street, where the grand jury has been hearing evidence against Trump. Alvin is, of course, the first name of Alvin Bragg, the district attorney. The police said that that piece of mail had been opened about 1 p.m. on Friday, but no one was exposed to the powder. So they're looking into what the hell this is. It's probably just like flour or something, but it's a terroristic thing because we remember after 9/11 that somebody was sending around anthrax, which is a white powder, in envelopes to people, and people died of this, including postal workers. So a white powder in an envelope sends a message these days, which I suppose in the 20th century it didn't send. Something else happened on Friday. Trump escalated all of this by saying on his little social media site, quote, potential death and destruction in such a false charge could be catastrophic for our country, unquote, referring to what he figures he's going to be charged with when he is indicted. That, along with his calls for protest, some of which have started, sounds like a threat to me. Maybe he should be charged for that too. We all remember January 6th, 2021, when less inflammatory words sent people in, and there was death and destruction. Five people died in that thing he caused at the Capitol building. I mean, people refer a lot to that one Capitol cop who died of a stroke right after it from the stress of it all and from being beaten. They don't remember that one crazy person started trying to climb through the window, and one of the Capitol guards righteously blew her away. And also, I think it was three other people were crushed by the stampede of all the MAGA dopes. So a bunch of people died on January 6, 2021.
Well, people certainly did get crushed and horribly hurt and have post-traumatic stress. And I believe the other people who died committed suicide. And it was because of what happened on that day to them.
Yeah. And I will note that the number of those Trump supporters from January 6th who have been arrested has reached over 1,000. Another one, who was a former New York City cop, she was sentenced to, I think, 3 years for invading Nancy Pelosi's office, one of several. She was also a cheerleader for the entire event. So she's getting 3 years. I'm glad they're getting something. I think they should get significantly longer sentences instead of like 3 years and stuff like that. I think they should be getting 20-year sentences. Leave them in. But that's what's happening. So, yeah, we have Trump doing this, and this is very clearly an incitation. And I think he needs to be charged, especially if people come here and try to pull something. I think it has to be tied to him. And if he comes here and tries to do something, it can be a local New York charge. We don't have to wait for the Attorney General of the United States to say, oh, I'm pussyfooting around. I don't know if I want to charge a former president with a crime. Here, we should charge him. They're charging him for his shady business practices, which started long before he became president. And with, you know, the hush payments and covering up the hush payments and all of that. So, yeah, we could charge him if he did that here. So there's this dispute between two people who used to be married to each other. They're exes. The thing is, their dispute has brought forth something that people are saying, what about? So these two people, they have some frozen embryos, and the woman wants to have them implanted in her so she can give birth. But he doesn't want that. Fairfax County, Virginia Circuit Court Judge Richard Gardner agreed with the former husband and said that the embryos weren't the ex-wife's property to do with as she pleased. The ex-husband's lawyers then argued he should not have to, quote, procreate against his wishes, unquote, which would infringe on his constitutional right to, quote, procreational autonomy, unquote. It's interesting how that's in the Constitution somewhere. What the hell? So, oh boy, this is bizarre stuff. Some people just invent the Constitution. They pull the Constitution from a rectal area and start quoting it. Anyway, so Judge Gardner looked into this law more. He searched the law all the way back to the Civil War. And then he changed his decision to be in favor of the ex-wife, based on a 19th century law governing the treatment of slaves. Based on that, he wrote in his decision that, quote, as there is no prohibition on the sale of human embryos, they may be valued and sold, and thus may be considered, quote, goods or chattels, unquote. This is, of course, what black slaves were. They were goods or chattels in the South before the Civil War set them free. And this is like, holy hell, he's going, what? Susan Crockin, a lawyer and scholar at Georgetown University's Kennedy Institute of Ethics, said of the use of slavery laws in reaching the decision that, quote, it's repulsive and it's morally repugnant, unquote.
So, if he's in favor of the woman, he bases it on something horrible. And if he votes in favor of the man, oh, men can't be forced to become parents. Let's think about this for a second.
Speaking of the Constitution, men can't,
but women can be forced to carry a pregnancy that they don't want to carry. I see.
Yeah, very interesting. It's in Virginia.
This guy needs to be tossed off the bench.
As do a lot of other people.
Man, he needs to be. They impeach judges, right? They can do that. Well, that jackass needs to be impeached. Ugh. Doubly impeached.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI New York with a moment in women's history.
If we do form a union, we are going to have a political force.
Since the 1950s, Dolores Huerta has been a grassroots organizer in the struggle for equality and civil rights.
People that aren't aware of labor relations don't realize why unions are important.
In the 60s, she co-founded the United Farm Workers and was the chair of contract negotiations.
You know, we did have a chance to sign a contract with the growers. Some of our liberal friends say, well, why didn't you sign that contract? It's a foot in the door is more important. Well, the reason that we didn't sign the contract is because the growers refused to put any protective language on the issue of poisons.
By the 70s, the Farm Workers Union led the charge against environmental racism and pollution with the campaign to ban the use of the pesticide DDT.
See, farm workers sort of took poisoning as a working condition, you know, the same way that they took a lack of a toilet or the lack of hand washing facilities or, you know, the bad treatment that you get. This was just an occupational you might say an ordinary thing.
At the time, a sampling showed 80% of farm workers, mostly grape pickers, as well as a large proportion of their children, were affected by DDT. They also found consumers were being affected by poison on the grapes that they were eating.
I think that the whole issue of pesticides that the union has taken on is an important one, because here we're taking on a basic issue that's not important. It's important not only to the farm worker, but to the consumer and also to the environment. And this is, I think, the union. We're certainly trying to make our union to be, to have a conscience, a social conscience that is larger than just the question of bread and butter.
Dolores Huerta later became a leader of the Feminist Majority's Feminization of Power campaign to inspire women, particularly Latina women, to run for public offices to reflect the diversity of the nation. She originated the Si Se Puede attitude, a personal and organizational spirit that promotes confidence, courage, hard work, and the belief that we can do the impossible, way before Barack Obama campaigned with the phrase, yes, we can. You can hear more from Dolores Huerta and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member. For $15 or more a month, you'll receive our fabulous, extensive women's history collection and our tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org, women.wbai.org, to become a WBAI buddy in the name of your favorite program or in the name of all WBAI programs. Or please call 212-209-2950. Do it now. Call 212-209-2950 and say, yes, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Day.
As we go marching, marching, we're standing proud and tall. The rising of the women means the rising of us all. No more the drudge and idler, and a toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, bread and roses. Our star as well as bodies, give us bread, but give us roses. Bread and roses, bread and roses.
There once was a union maid. No, not a maid, a woman, a union woman. And that is fabulous.
Okay. And this means we are pitching, yes, that what you just heard, the not what Pickles just said, but what you just heard was a part of the big 8 gigabyte USB flash drive that we're pitching here for Women's History Month. And, of course, WBAI needs to raise money. And one of the things we're doing is we're offering this big premium. It's a USB flash drive, 8 gigabytes, and it's 79 hours of programs on women's issues, women's history, all sorts of things. And this is in honor of Women's History Month, which we're still in, and that's our premium. What happens is, if you become a BAI buddy for $15 or more a month, or if you call up and make a one-time contribution of $100, you will get the 8-gigabyte USB flash drive with that 79 hours of radio from Pacifica's Women's History Collection. So, yes, how do you do that? Well, what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950 and say, you want to get the Women's History Collection, and they will set you up with that. Now, what is a BAI buddy? We want you to become a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is a sustaining membership in WBAI. A BAI buddy makes a monthly donation to WBAI, and it's pretty stress-free. What you do is you call up 1-212-209-2950, say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Now, to just become a BAI buddy, you can start out contributing $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you can. And again, if you do $15 or more a month, you get this 8-gigabyte flash drive with 79 hours of audio. And so you'll get that. And we're asking you to please do that now. Or $100, a flat $100 one-time donation, will also get you this particular flash drive, this premium. We don't usually offer the premiums, but this is the big premium for this particular time, this USB flash drive. So please call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and tell them, yeah, I wanna get in on that. Or you can just do, if you know, we used to be $10. Well, now the minimum is we used to be $5. Now the minimum is $10, and that's what you got to do. That's life. It's inflation, I suppose. 1-212-209-2950. And what you can do is call that number and either say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. If it's for $15 or more, ask for the Women's History Collection. Or you can make a donation. It doesn't have to be $100, but for $100, you get the Women's History Collection. Or you can do $25 or more, and you become a member of WBAI. There are going to be elections this year. They're important because we don't want absolutely stupid people on the local station boards. So if you could see your way to just spending $25 on WBAI, that would be good. We bring you all sorts of things here on this program. And by calling in and pledging, becoming either pledging a set amount of money right now, just lump sum, or by becoming a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, you support this program. We currently have 3 BAI buddies for Back of the Book, and we thank them all. And we would like you to become a BAI buddy. Yes, you can become a BAI buddy and call 1-212-209-2950 and say you do want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. 1-212-209-2950. We seriously need to hear from some people right about now. And here we're going to give you another sample of what you can what you will get on this 79-hour long set of radio programs regarding women's history. So here we go with somebody who's quite local and whom I remember.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI in New York with a moment in women's history. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman in Congress, and in 1972, she became the first woman and first black American to seek the nomination for President of the United States from one of the two major parties.
I am a woman with ability, with intelligence, and with depth. That is the sadness about this country. And that's why I made my mind up. I was going to stay in this race, come thick or thin. And I was going to go all the way to Miami, because even though the papers have been underscoring me, even though many people have been saying, well, she can't be serious, they're going to see me in action at the National Convention. And I mean this. I am committed to this as an instrument of people in this country who've been left out, an instrument of people whose counsel and advice has never been sought. In terms of putting a ticket together, only using the people every 4 years for their votes. I look at all of these distinguished senators telling all of the people what they're going to do for women, what they're going to do for blacks, what they're going to do for Chicanos, what they're going to do for this group and the other group. Well, darn it, they've been in the United States Senate for 10 or more years. If they had a concern about the American Indian, they would have done something already about the miserable living conditions that those Indians live on in terms of the reservations, where 70% of them don't live to see the age of 40. They don't have a concern about women. They don't have a concern about the conservation and preservation of human resources. They're only interested in these human resources every 4 years when it's time to go out and get the vote. And that's why when people say, well, what makes you so different from all the rest of them? I said, I am different because I have a gut commitment to people, first of all. All of the rest of them have commitment to different interest groups, financial groups, power groups. I'm espoused only by a lot of folks in the country who told me they didn't want to vote between the lesser of the two evils anymore. They wanted to give their vote to somebody that they knew deep down within themselves had a commitment to people, and for whatever that vote would mean, at least it would give me that much more added strength that I need when I get to the convention.
Chisholm retired from Congress after serving seven terms. In 1983, she said she wanted to be remembered as a woman who dared to be a catalyst for change. You can receive our Women's History audio collection with Shirley Chisholm and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member for $15 a month. You'll also receive our fabulous tote bag. Please go to women.wbai.org. Again, that's women.wbai.org to become a buddy in the name of your favorite program. Or call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, yes, certainly, I want to become a WBAI buddy this Women's History Month.
And Shirley Chisholm supported the first gay rights bill. That's what it was called then. That was introduced, and we introduced it. Gay Activist Alliance put it together. A guy from Long Island named Richie Amato, he wrote it because he knew how to write legislation, and we managed to get it introduced as Intro 475. Shirley Chisholm was in favor of that, and oh boy, that was the first one of those things that ever showed up. And it took forever to pass it, but it passed eventually. And in other places, they're trying to repeal it all. So, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A minimum of $10 makes you a BAI buddy. And what happens is you tell them how much you want to donate, $10 or more. If you donate $15 or more, you get that USB flash drive with all those stories on it. And if you want to donate $100, you also get that if you donate a lump sum of $100. So if you want to just do a $10 one, that's perfectly fine. If you want to do more than 15, that's also perfectly fine. We need to have some folks get on the Back of the Book choo-choo train. and say, yes, I want to keep BAI on the air, and I want to keep Back of the Book on WBAI. We do various different types of things. We do science topics that you don't generally hear. We did that last time. We're talking here. We've had to push a thing or two around because we have managed to have this stuff with Trump show up just before before recording time. And so, yeah, so we push things around. We do that. That's life. 1-212-209-2950. Call them up and say you want to get the Women's History Collection, and that's $15 a month. And you tell them how much you want to donate. You tell them also what day of the month you want to donate on, so that it's your credit card or charge card, your credit card or debit card is charged at the right time and not a bad time for you. 1-212-209-2950. Please give the call center a call at that number now. We need to hear from you now. And that winds up the pitch. Thank you to all of you who've called 212-209-2950 to pledge. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We're supposed to be back next week, and we figure we probably will be. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
So we'll be hoping to do a lot more of this stuff next week. Go on out, enjoy the spring. It's lovely out there. And above all, remember what that hoping to actually get out into the spring season dormouse said.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI New York with A Moment in Women's History.
I began to live to give whatever I could instead of to get whatever I could.
Mildred Lizette Norman, who became Peace Pilgrim, says she was trained to believe it was good to be generous, giving, and unselfish on one hand, but on the other, to be successful, you need to go out there and grab more than your share of the world's goods. She says she tried to act on both of these trainings, but ended up grabbing more than her share before she became Peace Pilgrim.
We're trained to believe it's good to be a kind, loving person, that we should never hurt anyone. And yet we're also trained to believe that it's honorable to kill people on the other side of the world or maim them if our government tells us to, you see. Directly opposite, and we try sometimes to act upon both, although I am very grateful that more and more of my fellow citizens are rebelling against that second. Now, that didn't ever take with me. But the other training that I mentioned did.
Peace Pilgrim was the first woman to hike the Appalachian Trail in one season. Then for decades, she crisscrossed North America on a peace pilgrimage.
I'm penniless. I own only what I wear and what I carry in my little pockets. I don't belong to any organization. There's no organizational backing behind me. I walk until given shelter, and I fast until given food, and I don't even ask. But I think it's a wonderful tribute to the goodness of my fellow human beings that without ever asking for anything in more than 16 years of walking, I have been supplied.
Peace wore a blue tunic with the words, Peace Pilgrim. Her message is, this is the way of peace.
Overcome evil with good, and falsehood with truth, and hatred with love. You see, there's nothing new about that message except the practice of it, but I consider it the message for today. Too long in our immaturity, we have attempted to overcome evil with more evil and thereby multiplied the evil. Evil can only be overcome by good.
Peace, Pilgrim. You can hear more from Peace and other trailblazers by becoming a WBAI buddy. For $15 a month, you'll receive the WBAI Women's History Collection, an extensive collection produced by the Pacifica Radio Archives. Please call 212-209-2950 and say, yes, I want to become a WBAI buddy, a sustaining member of WBAI for $15 a month.